Good morning. I want to thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if everyone would take their cell phone out, and if you would call someone that was here last week and tell them to come to church, we will gladly wait on them. You may not know this, but this is all pastors' most dreaded Sunday to preach. So I have a lot of jokes today for those of you who showed up. A few announcements. Deacons holding their meeting on April 22nd after worship. Women's Association, their luncheon is this Thursday from 11:30 to 1. I will not be able to be there, so hopefully maybe y'all can ask Trudy or someone to take up the money. I'll try to email her too. I will be at Presbytery at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary during those times. Women's Association is in need of more pies. They ran out of pies last time, and someone had to run out and get some, so we don't want that to happen again. So if you can make a pie, any kind of pie that you like to make. Youth group is meeting on April 22nd, but they're also meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in McFadden Hall. Junior church every Sunday, or the first three Sundays. I'm not giving that announcement right. Every Sunday except the last Sunday of the month over in McFadden Hall. The nursery is open every Sunday in the Christian Education Building through these doors, and then the first door on your left, and for any visitors through these doors, and right out there's in this building there, downstairs, handicapable unisex restrooms and a baby changing table on the one on the right. And let me see, that's it in the bulletin. Before I call Sean forth for a minute for mission, I want to give a little mini one myself. A couple of years ago, the trustees, when we had that board before we came to Unicarmel board, they were talking about a victory garden over in on this side of the church. This is our land, what we've always called the garden plot. And Dan Nelson is trying to put this together where a garden, a vegetable garden, would be planted. People would have their own plots. They could grow the vegetables that they would like. So they're writing a proposal now for this, so who might be interested in this. So there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. I just made it real quickly this morning. If you're interested in it and finding out more about it, working with Ann on getting the proposal going. We don't have exactly how it's going to be yet, so that's why we want to start laying this out before the planting season gets any closer. It may be that you're given a plot, then you grow your vegetables, and then you donate 10% of it to a food bank. Or maybe you have a whole plot, and then the group gets together and works on a plot for the food bank. We just don't know exactly what it's going to be like. But it's not going to be a flower garden or like that, but it'll be vegetables. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up at the back with your name and phone number, and Dan or someone will get in touch with you about it. So please be in prayer about that. I think it'd be a good thing for our church, a good mission project. I'd like to start thinking of our church as a missional church, and there's a possibility if we use this land for a garden and give a percentage of the food away that this land might be tax-free for us. We don't know for sure, but that is a possibility. So please be in prayer about it. The more that we can do for other people and help them, the more loving and giving church we certainly will be. Sean?
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I'm excited to share the good news that today we are prepared to launch two more of our organizational teams. As mentioned in March, we will be launching the teams in five phases over the next 3 months. Our next team launch after today will be April 29th. Today's focus is on the budget and finance team and the rental relations teams. As you'll see in your bulletin inserts, each team has a mission statement and core objectives. The mission of the budget and finance team is to develop, implement, and reinforce sound and practical accounting practices that oversee the financial operations of the church. The mission of the Rental Relations Team is to assist our members and the community to live a fuller life by offering a convenient and affordable facility, while also serving the needs of the church and our beliefs. On the other side of the bulletin insert, there are suggested ways where you may volunteer to participate on a team. There are opportunities for everyone to be on a team or multiple teams. You may join a team by contacting the team chair. Their contact information is also in the bulletin, or completing an interest survey card that is also located on the bulletin board. With prayerful consideration, please search your heart and ask, God, what skills, gifts, and talents have you given me that I may use to further your work? Please contact Anna Sangle for the facility team, or me for the budget and finance team if you have any questions. Anna's team is rental relations, sorry. And we are looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. And I hope that you will think about joining one of these teams. And we're going to a team concept as opposed to a committee concept. We're trying to get away from long meetings, because sometimes you just go to a meeting and you talk and nothing gets done. So we're trying to break it down to teams and a few people to work together. Maybe you have a specific area that you're working on, and you can do some of your meeting and talking over telephone. You're not always going to have to be coming down every month and have a meeting for 2-3 hours. So I really hope that you'll think about it, pray about it, and get involved. You know, we all need to be involved in our church in one way or the other. So God bless you. Any other announcements before we move on? Yes. Oh, I didn't realize that. I had it in my notes to talk about it and skipped right over it. And I thank Arlie for doing that. And, you know, we got recognition in the newspaper, a nice article about it. And thank Arlie for showing them and talking about our church. And the more news and positive news for us, the better. Anyone else? Vacation Bible School. Sign up. That's a short thing you can sign up for. Yes. The call list is available for luncheons. Verna has them. Anna? Thank you. Let's give a round of applause for that. Thank you very much. Need a couple people Thursday, especially for serving. Shorthanded. Sherry, did you have something? Oh, okay. Anyone else? Good. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 225, verses 1, 2, and 5. Worship Christ, the risen King. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving humanity. We praise Jesus for being willing to suffer for our sins. Forgive us when we take our salvation for granted. Remind us that Jesus' victory over sin and death caused him to be beaten, bruised, and scarred. May we be reminded of how much Jesus loves us by the nails that pierced his hands. Let his scars and suffering motivate us to greater service and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Let us unite in our faith here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. You don't know someone's name, please ask them until you know.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Responsive reading, 639 in your hymnals, Christ's Suffering. 639, Christ's Suffering. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering.
Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
By oppression and judgment he was taken away.
And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the stricken of my people he was stricken. I'd like to open up this portion of the service with a pastoral prayer. I invite you to submit any prayer requests. And I don't know if I announced about passing your red signing pad down, but please sign that and pass it down. Try to update you just a little bit on the people on our list. Marcia Huff will be going in for surgery on her knee on the 27th. Ron Anderson just had surgery. Christine Gill is now home. Joe D'Amico had surgery in his home. Don Wagner is at a VA hospital at home. Art, I saw him Friday. You know, he has cancer and stage 4, and he will be undergoing chemo in a few weeks. They've given him about a year if things go according to plan. So let's be in prayer for him and his family. Nancy is coming along a little bit better, finally hit a little spot where she feels like she's made some improvement, and seeing both of her regular doctor and cardiac specialist. And Ron is going in for surgery tomorrow morning, in the morning. And I know I already asked you, but which hospital again?
Passavant.
We have to be
there at
4:45 in the morning. Okay. Well, that's early. Okay, any other prayer requests at this time? Okay, her cousin going through a double mastectomy, and mom has some suspicious spots. Anyone else?
Okay.
Aaron up in Canada has leg clots and not looking very well. Anyone else? All the tornado victims. Okay. Breast cancer for a co-worker, Barbara, and they've caught it at the size of a pea. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. And in Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. And the main reason it is beautiful is because you are in our life. You have brought us salvation through being willing to go to the cross. From what we know from scriptures, it was not an easy thing for you to do, because you said, Lord, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But you went, and you knew what you would have to endure. The beating, the shame, being spit upon, the nails through your hands and your feet and the spear in your side. But you loved humanity so much, you did it. And we are so eternally grateful for that. You are our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our healer, our confidant. You take our prayers before the Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. So we come to you this morning as your children, at times feeling weak, at times feeling strong and almost like we don't need you, but we do. We need you every day of our lives. So we lift these prayer requests up to you for ourselves, for our friends, our family, oftentimes for complete strangers and circumstances, believing that you hear our prayers and answer them according to your love and your grace. God, help us to be good to one another as you are good to us. Help us at times to be an answer to someone's prayer, to reach out in love and mercy and kindness to them, to help them when they're hurting or they're sick, mentally confused or spiritually confused or physically ill. Help us to grow as a church in numbers, in love, in mission, in all areas. We thank you for all the things that you did when you walked upon this earth, all the parables, the healings, all the things that you taught your disciples and apostles. And we thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is our screen song, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you.
Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again on this Sunday morning, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice. But we thank you that the grave could not hold him. On the third day he rose and he showed himself to the disciples and over 500. Then later he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of power. We thank you for that. All that you have given to us. And you give gifts back to the church through the power of your Holy Spirit. And they're not for us. They're not for us to use selfishly, but for your glory. That we can point others to you, to the name of Jesus, and they can find salvation and a sense of peace and an eternal life. Help us to use these gifts properly and wisely. Our monies, our time, our talent, everything that we do, Lord, may we do it for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen. Thank you. This time, Bill Mueller will come forward and read the scripture. In the NIV version, the Bibles in the pew are the RSV, so this is the NIV.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. I get it all out this time. Today's scripture is very important to us. But let me get the setting. The setting is the disciples gathered in a room that's locked. Why? They were confused. They were bewildered. They were scared about what was going on. Think about it. 2 weeks beforehand, Jesus made a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and everybody was happy about it. Then later on that week, he was crucified. He was captured by the Jewish leaders, and he was dead. Then they were told that the tomb was empty. And they were told that Mary Magdalene, a woman, had seen him. But what did she see him, or did the Jewish leaders take him away? What was going on? And they were gathered in this room because they feared for themselves now. Would the Jewish leaders come for them as well? So what happened? Jesus appeared to them. And the first thing he did was offer them peace. Because he fulfilled that he said in Matthew 18:20, where two or more of you are gathered in my name, so will I be. He also fulfilled a second of his promises. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit and told them that they can go out and evangelize the rest of the people. And then it's interesting that this all appeared on Sunday. The disciples had gathered together for mutual support in their darkest hour. And then the very next week, the very next Sunday, Jesus reappeared for Thomas, the doubter. So in that way, he sanctified Sundays and told us that we should gather together for mutual support in our dark hours. So please listen to and find your own message in John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book of John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Before I get started, any IRS agents in the house today? Any lawyers? Okay, a few jokes. I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, jokes, they're just jokes. You can always make, there's plenty of preacher jokes. So if you ever need a comeback, we'll give you a few minutes in the pulpit for preacher jokes. I imagine some people, with this being right at April the 15th, and I know this year the 17th, but traditionally it's April the 15th. Someone might have looked at the title and said, "Victorious but scarred," and said, "Well, I guess the preacher just got through doing his income tax return." And I did, and I'm just sending in my federal taxes to have to save up that and send in my own federal money. So I always kind of hate to write that one big check and send it off to the IRS quarterly. It's easier when it's taken out and someone else does it and you never see it. Well, April the 15th is not only tax day traditionally, but it's the day the Titanic sank and Lincoln was shot. Sometimes back in California, a 71-year-old grandmother pleaded not guilty to armed robbery, saying that she had been driven insane by the Internal Revenue Service. Sounds perfectly logical to me. A good defense. Someone said that the difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get more complicated every year. The ambivalence between people towards the IRS even made it into a lawyer joke. Said if a lawyer and IRS agent were drowning and you could only save one of them, would you go to lunch or read the paper? Ooh, that's the one I was a little worried about. But actually, most IRS agents and government workers and lawyers are very honest, professional people and servants in our community. Most of us receive good benefits from our system of government. What would we do without our bridges and our roads and our military and our police and the things that they provide? But one businessman was not too excited about the IRS and how much money they always took from him. And on his deathbed, he called and said, "Joe, I want you to promise that when I die, you'll have my remains cremated." And then I said, "Do you want me to do with your ashes?" He said, "Well, just put them in an envelope and mail them to the IRS and write on it, 'Now you have everything.'" Victorious but scarred. Actually, we are not dealing with tax matters today. We're dealing with an appearance of Jesus to his disciples following his resurrection and Easter. A couple of years ago, the Reuters News Service carried a story about a Russian teenager who actually survived a lightning strike that struck her on the top of her head. Many people are struck by lightning and do not die. It was so powerful that it vaporized a gold necklace cross she was wearing around her neck. The bolt hit this young woman on top of her head and seared through her body to the ground, and the necklace that she had been wearing was atomized or tonomized, and leaving burns in the shape of a cross on her neck. And they couldn't find but two little links from the gold chain. Just an amazing thing. A doctor at a local hospital who treated her over a period of 2 weeks said it's a miracle that she even survived this at all. She did survive and is now fine, but she will have deep scars on her neck and the cross scarred into her for the rest of her life. After Jesus' resurrection from the grave, he still bore the signs from having hung upon the cross. We read in John's Gospel, in the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples came together and the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then a few verses later we read, "Now Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But Thomas said to them, 'Lest I see, I have to see it myself. I'm not going to trust what you say. I want to see it myself. I see the nail marks in the hands and put my fingers into where the spear went. I want to see it myself.' A week later, disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was among them, and although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas," looking at him, can you imagine how Thomas must have been feeling by this time? "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas said, unless he could see the nail marks in Christ's hands and put his finger where the nails were and put his hand into Christ's side, he would not believe that Jesus Christ, his friend, his Lord, his Savior, was alive. And that is exactly what he experienced. And to me, it is very significant that Christ has been resurrected from the dead and that his body still bore the marks from the crucifixion. I would have thought they would have all gone away in his new body, victorious but scarred. And it is a significant reminder to me that no one ever achieves anything of lasting significance without getting a few scars along. There you go, I'm behind. A few scars along the way. No one makes a lasting contribution to the world who does not pay a price. On this April the 15th, we might remember a well-known tax evader named Henry David Thoreau. Unlike modern tax evaders, who many are only interested in their own welfare, Thoreau willingly went to jail rather than pay taxes to support a war that he did not believe in, the Mexican-American War. You might remember the famous exchange between Thoreau and Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, "Henry, what are you doing in there? What are you doing in jail?" And replied Thoreau, "Ralph, what are you doing out there? Why aren't you in jail? Why aren't you protesting the war?" The point was, there are some causes worthy of sacrifice, some causes that are worth suffering for, some causes that are worth obtaining scars in your life for. No one ever achieves anything of lasting significance without getting a few scars along the way. Sometimes physical, sometimes mental. We need to understand that not all of Christians have to choose the safe, secure way that we may have chosen for our lives. We need to know about people like Dr. Eleanor Chestnut, who, arriving in China in 1893 under the American Presbyterian Mission Board, Dr. Chestnut built a hospital using her own money. Amazing. To buy bricks and mortar, they needed service was so great she performed surgery in her own bathroom until the hospital was built. One operation involved an amputation from a common laborer, they call them coolie, on the very bottom of society. She performed this operation and they needed a skin graft. Didn't know where to go get it from. And people noticed her limping a few days later and asked about it, and she just very curtly put them off. And then one of the nurses started telling. Under local anesthesia, she took the graft from her own leg and put it on this Chinese man. Her own self, the doctor. And not long afterwards, during the Boxer Rebellion of 1905, Dr. Chestnut and five other missionaries were killed by a mob that raided the hospital. The ultimate sacrifice. Eleanor Chestnut knew the dangers of serving in China, but her faith was so strong, her commitment to Christ and to the Chinese people was complete. Today, the Chinese Christian community is one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing Christian community in the world. But it would not even be there if it was not for historical people like her that were willing to go and sacrifice in China and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being willing to bear some scars and make this commitment and ultimately even to give their life. Victorious but scarred, the scars that Christ bore remind us that no one ever achieves anything of lasting significance without obtaining some scars in this life. And those scars are a reminder of just how much Christ loves us. And we need to remember that. Some of you are familiar with American Sign Language. I didn't really notice till I found this, but when deaf people are worshiping and they go to make, and the sign of Jesus is something, I don't know exactly if it's like this or if it's like this, but that means Jesus. And they're referring to Jesus, the scar that in his hands. So every time they're worshiping, they touch, they're remembering the sacrifice, the scar, the nails that went through his hands. Now, some people, if they want to get technical and start studying history, some people say the hand, some people say the wrist. I'm not going to go there, but that's what it means for them. Now, the details of Christ's death have always had an impact on those who believe in him, though sometimes not always in healthy ways. The New York Times Magazine carried a story a few years back about a sect of Indians in the Southwest. And I know there's some people in the Philippines that do something similar to it, where these Native Americans would take a cross and they would literally nail a volunteer to it. And they would carry him through the village. And then the other group of men would follow and they would beat themselves. The blood was running everywhere. They were literally trying to be imitators of Jesus Christ, scarring their bodies. But that's a perversion of taking scars for Christ. That's not what God asks us to do, to flagellate our bodies, to tear our bodies up in that kind of way. However, who but can be moved by the knowledge that the Son of God, who knew no sin, allowed himself to be brutalized, allowed himself to be slain for sinful humanity? Why did he do it? He did it out of love for you and me, because it was the way to bring us to heaven, the way to give us eternal salvation. It's like the story that William Barclay once told about a young French soldier in First World War who was seriously wounded. He was out cold and brought to the doctor. The doctor had to amputate his arm. The doctor said he was a really young man, a really handsome man, and he just really felt sorry for him. And he waited there till the young man's eyes opened, because he wanted to be there to comfort him. He said, "Son, I'm sorry that you lost your arm." He said, "Sir, I did not lose my arm. I gave my arm for France." In the same way, Christ did not lose his life. He gave his life for you and for me. Christ suffered on the cross and endured unimaginable pain. It is the greatest scar story that has ever been told. Victorious but scarred, the scars that Christ bore remind us that no one ever achieves anything of great and lasting value without attaining some scars throughout the process. And those scars also remind us of how much Jesus Christ loves us, each and every one of us. And Christ's scars are a summons to us to commit ourselves more fully to His work and to His kingdom. The saddest commentary on our lives is probably the fact that so many or so few of us really bear scars for the work of Jesus Christ. I don't think anyone is going to accuse many of us Presbyterians for being fanatics for Christ. Jim Cogden in Leadership Magazine tells about a jarring TV commercial that ran some time back. The TV commercial contained no dialogue whatsoever. It simply showed people who had one thing in common, a nasty injury or a scar on their body. There was a cowboy with a huge scar around his eye and something wrong with the eye itself. Another fellow with a big cauliflower ear. Another with a horrible calloused feet. Then no explanation of all except a Nike swoosh. And then just the words, do it. That had been analyzed and criticized as being incomprehensible and being extreme. But the key to the controversial commercial lied, they said, in the background music, Joe Cocker singing the words, you are so beautiful to me. So those athletes, the wrestler with the cauliflower ear, the surfer with the shark bite that had been taken a bite out of the leg, the bull rider with one eye damaged. These were all beauty marks to the people that appreciated their sport. Beauty, the creator of the ad said, is in the eyes of the beholder. Victorious but scarred. That is how we too will one day see our Lord and our Master. I think that's one of the ways we will recognize Him. And it will remind us of His great love for each and every one of us. And I wonder when we see Jesus face to face, because I think when we die and go to heaven, every single one of us get to see Him face to face. Will He look at us? And will He be looking for any scars on us for service to Him? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, He is Lord, 105, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then the refrain, after all that is done. Okay. Thank you. Hope you can come back next Sunday, if not this church, the church of your choice. Remind you of the sign-up sheet if you're interested at all in Victory Garden. If you're interested in the other two teams, you can talk to Sean or Anna and get more information about it and the other teams that have been announced. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt protected and loved and safe. As you go back into the world that is full of danger and can be frightening at times, I hope you go taking the name of Jesus with you and give the gospel the good news that people can find peace, they can find a sense of fulfillment through the name of Jesus, and they can find salvation and eternal life. And yes, all of us, if we serve Jesus, are going to have some scars in our lives if we dedicate ourselves to Him. But it will be worth it. It will be worth it through eternity. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.